Something else was going on. And we read about that right at the beginning of that passage. Actually, it said that Satan had entered his heart, or words to that effect. Jesus and his disciples were at supper. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, the thought of betraying Jesus. Now, he didn't want others to know that, did he? He wanted to keep it hidden. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know what? Are there things in our life that we want to keep hidden? You know, does anybody know what you're really like? Does anybody know what's really going on inside me? My thoughts, what I've done over this past week, how I feel about myself. Does anybody honestly know exactly what's going on in here and what's going on in your life? Why do we want to keep things hidden? And what is it that we keep hidden? Well, there's obviously one obvious thing. That's sin. Okay? We do, many of us, perhaps all of us, I don't know. But there are things that go on in my life, thoughts I might have, things I might have done this week. So I don't actually want to stand up here and tell you all. Okay? That would be somewhat embarrassing. Now, you'd probably say, well, Bill, we can imagine. And we wouldn't sort of hold it against you. We might, actually. Who knows? especially if those thoughts have been less than charitable. But it's very difficult, isn't it, to actually be totally honest with what's going on in our lives. The things that we have thought, the things that we've watched, the things that we've said, the things we've done. We don't want to be totally honest and open about it. It's a struggle. And then there's something else. One of the struggles that many of us have is actually accepting ourselves. We think we should be different in some way. Now, some of us will say, oh, I'm too fat, or I'm too skinny, or I'm too ugly, or I'm not the right shade of colour. I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm horrible. Many people have got a very poor image of themselves. They don't want to face up to who they are. And that's partly, I have to be honest, about how the media is. I think to some extent the media is wicked because it says you've got to conform to this sort of image. And if you don't, then you're of less value. Now, I don't want to get onto one of my hobby horses, so stop me if I go too far. But I think, you know, one of the great tragedies today is that people are persuaded to part with their money so that they can advertise somebody else's products. Okay, it seems a nonsense, doesn't it, to me? You might get onto me and say, I bet you've got Calvin Klein pants on, Bill. No, I haven't. Okay. You know, why do we, though, feel that we have got to conform? It's so that we can feel accepted. So that we can feel okay about ourselves. We have to conform to an image. We don't accept ourselves. We cover ourselves up with designer gear, whatever it might be, or as the latest technology. What are we going to do about it? Well, one of the things that we've got to do about it is to encourage our kids to think they don't have to have this stuff. Now, that's really difficult. If you're a mum or a dad here, you'll know that your children will say, I've got to have these trainers. Okay, you say, what's wrong with the ones I got for you from Primark? Okay, and they'll say, I can't wear them. Look, all my friends have got Nike. I can't wear those ones from Primark. They'll all laugh at me. It's very difficult, isn't it? But what is wrong with a bog standard pair of trainers? What is wrong with a bog standard t-shirt? There's nothing. There's a lot of pressure on young people. I know that. I've got three boys. Not that any of them have been particularly fashion conscious, unlike their father. And but it is difficult, isn't it? So there's something for us as parents to struggle with. Help one another in this. You know, because if your kids say, oh, well, so-and-so got them for theirs, well, make sure that so-and-so hasn't got them for theirs. Stand together on it and say, look, be different. Don't follow the masses. Be different. What's going to help us do this? Well, let's just go back to that other one first, because they're the two things I picked up on. If you like, why we cover ourselves up. One, we can't accept ourselves as we are. Two is the hidden sin. What are we going to do about the hidden sin? There's a simple answer to that. James in chapter 5, verse 16 says this, confess your sins to one another. Now, you'll all come back to me and say, oh, I thought we just confessed our sins to God. Of course we confess our sins to God. And that's brilliant. That's what Jesus came to do, that we can confess and know we're forgiven. But you then got to ask the question, why does James say, confess your sins to one another? Why is it that in those traditions of the church that have confession as part of their teaching, like in the Catholic Church, actually there's less problem with mental health? Why is that? Because it's therapeutic, it's healing to confess your sins to one another. So bear that in mind. It's what Scripture teaches. It's very, very difficult to do that. But let me tell you something else. When you actually do confess to somebody else, rather than rejection, which is what we might fear, there's an amazing acceptance. Why is that? Because we've all sinned. And if somebody confesses to me or I confess to somebody else, we're confessing to somebody who's in the same situation. They have sinned, I have sinned. And there comes a greater understanding and compassion for one another. Now, coming to terms with ourselves, what do we learn from Jesus? And I picked this up in the UCB notes, I think it was earlier this week or sometime. And it really struck me, this. What do we learn from Jesus when he actually washed the disciples' feet? Something I think that's very important. Very, very important. Jesus took off his outer garment. He was saying, effectively, this is me. This is me. I am okay with myself. Now, you might say he probably took his outer garment off because he didn't want to get it wet. That may be true. Okay, but symbolically, he was prepared to reveal himself. Okay, because he had nothing to hide. He knew that he was secure in God's love. And I think that's the important thing for us, that we can say, look, this is me. Yes, I have sinned. Yes, I am not a size whatever, 10, 12, whatever we should be. We don't have to be anything to be what we like, okay? I don't have to conform because God loves me unconditionally. Jesus was secure in the Father's love. He didn't have to pretend to be something else. And I think that's a very, very important lesson for us. We don't have to conform. We don't have to beat ourselves up that we're not this shape, that we're not intelligent in that way. We can say, this is me. God loves me unconditionally. That's what Jesus knew. So he was prepared to wash the disciples' feet. He said, I know I'm loved by God unconditionally. He is my Father. And that's the message for us too. We can be a forgiven people And we're a people who God loves unconditionally. And I think that's a very important lesson for us today. So let's pray. Lord God, it's not always easy to feel that we are loved just as we are, that you accept us just as we are. Lord, you're a loving Father. You don't say we've got to be like this, we've got to be like that. You love us for who we are, as we are. Lord, we know that things, you want us to be more like Jesus, and that's a process. But Lord, you love us irrespective of what we've done or what we look like. Thank you that we can know the security of that love. Help us to live in it and walk in it, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to have our prayers, and lovely, thank you. Francesca and Florence are going to lead us.
Good morning. I just want to pray for students that are receiving results at the moment, those who are taking exams next year as well, and teachers as they prepare to go back to school. Let us pray. Dear God, bless all schools, colleges and universities, that they may be lively centres for sound learning, new discovery and the pursuit of wisdom, and grant that those who teach and learn may find you to be the source of all truth. You understand the difficulties students face and the pressure that we are under to do well. We ask that you guide us as we take our tests in the future, so that we may perform to the best of our abilities. Open our minds, clear our throats, and grant us perfect concentration, so we may use the knowledge we have gained. We pray for those who have received A-level results this week, that you will guide them through the choices that lie ahead and lead them to happy, faithful, and fulfilling lives. For those who have not achieved their conditions for university this year, we still thank you because we know that their efforts are not wasted, and we pray that you give them the strength and knowledge to achieve their grades for university next year or to find a similar course through the clearing system at another university. We would also like to pray for the younger students due to receive their GCSE results on the 25th of August, that they may achieve the results that they need. Now that we're into August and halfway through the summer holidays, we want to also pray for teachers and the teachers. As the end of the month approaches and teachers, support staff and pupils return to school, they enter a very potentially challenging environment. We have to pray for them as they seek to reflect who Jesus is in the staff room, the playground, the corridors and the classrooms. Father, thank you for hearing us, and we pray that your will be done. Free our minds, Father, from all anxiety about ourselves, that trusting you to meet our needs, we may commit all our energies to the service of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Dear God, we pray for all the people that have been affected by the riots all around the country. We pray for everyone that has lost their homes and belongings, and that they will have a much safer environment to live in once justice is served. For everyone that has lost their businesses or had shop products stolen from them and their employees that are now looking for new jobs, we pray that you bless them and they will still be able to provide essential things for them and their families. We also pray that during this time you'll be with Aileen's family as they will still be grieving. Please remind them of the happy memories they have of her, and when they are sad, to remind them that she's now with you and is no longer stressed or in pain, which is the best thing possible, even if we disagree. After all, you're the only one that truly knows what is best for everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you both very much.
Well, we're going to share the peace together now. It's an opportunity to greet one another. And if you don't like doing that, well, just sort of stand there like this. And but most of us can just manage a little bit of shaking hands. So let's stand. So the peace of the Lord be always with you. So let's share appropriately.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah. And with you too. God bless you. We're going to sing our offertory hymn in a moment, and that will be the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Norma is doing a sterling work, she's doing really well, but if the system breaks down, it's 755. But I have complete confidence in you, Norma. So let's stand to sing. We will be using the prayer, which is the prayer H, on page 10 in those green booklets. Prayer H, page 10. Lord Jesus, you gave up everything for us. You came and suffered and died for our sake so that we could find healing and forgiveness. And we pray that many will come to know you as their Saviour, as their friend, as the one in whom they can trust and know security. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for us, and his blood which he shed for us. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for us, and we feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Could I remind you that if you're a Christian, whatever denomination, or you may even not be of denomination, you are welcome to come and join with us round the Lord's table. If for some reason or another you feel it's inappropriate, please do still feel free to come forward and keep your hands by your side or at your back, and we'll know just to pray God's blessing on you. But do feel encouraged to come and share in the bread and wine. It's a representation that Christ has died for you and for me, that our sins have been dealt with on the cross once and for all. So if those who are helping would be kind enough to come forward.